Now, from Fan Run Radio, it's the Voluntary Reaction presented by Miller Lite. Raw, unfiltered, real.
All right. We are live from Hops and Hoppers, where we got together to watch a good basketball game. We watched a good basketball game. We watched Tennessee go down to the wire with an undermanned Kansas team who was dealing with a couple suspensions and an injury. But Tennessee falls 74-68. Pons, the career-high 24 points, Jordan Bowden. The second half, Jordan Bowden gives me a lot of hope for the next couple SEC games. Not going to talk about moral victories, not going to do all that. But I didn't come out of this game that upset. Tennessee missed a couple opportunities for a big win. But Tennessee just simply didn't have an answer for Azubuike, especially when Azubuike is hitting free throws. It does suck to lose to that scumbag Bill Self, but here we are. John Reed, Tanner Carson, Davey Hudson back at studio, holding down the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. We are live at Hops and Hollers. I'm drinking a lemonade Truly right now, as is Tanner. Got Miller Lite on deck. Come by, get a pitcher of Miller Lite. $9 pitchers here at Hops and Hollers. We love Miller Lite. Miller Lite sponsors the Voluntary Action. 865-546-8200 if you want to weigh in. Tanner, your thoughts on the game?
Well, great teams cover.
Okay.
Great teams do cover, okay. At least. It was an overall good basketball game. I feel like if I was a neutral observer, I felt like I was pretty entertained by that basketball game. You have an unranked Tennessee team going into Fog Allen Fieldhouse where it's so hard to get a win. And Tennessee made that an entertaining game. But like you already said, man, I'm not going to talk about a moral victory or anything like that. You had the opportunities, especially at multiple points in the second half, to at least tie the game. You could have even taken the lead too. But as you've already went about saying in your opening monologue, John, how do you have an answer for Azubuike? I don't even understand how he came back to Kansas. He could have been – I mean, you're more of an NBA man than I am. Could he have not been a lottery pick? I mean, that is such a hard player to defend.
I think he's a great college player. I don't think he is a lottery pick. Like, even now, I think he's projected to go, like, in the second round.
Fair enough.
So he's a big body. He's bigger than everybody in college. But, I mean, his post moves are pretty limited. And, you know, if you get him out on the floor where he can't shoot, you know, 8 feet and further, sure, in the NBA, those guys swallow those shots up down low. So I'm not surprised he came back. He is a really, really good, borderline great college center. I don't even know if I consider him a great college center, but he is the difference maker. He has 18 points. He grabs 11 rebounds. He blocks 4 shots. And, you know, Fulkerson tried to hold his own. Fulkerson didn't get the benefit of a couple whistles early in the game. Tennessee missed some opportunities to get Azubuike all the way in foul trouble. And as we start, you know, peeling the layers back on the good and the bad of the game, I do think a part of my bad, will be how, you know, we kind of fouled ourselves out in the first half. Whereas Kansas put Azubuike back in with 2 fouls and righted the ship and, you know, turned a 7-point deficit into a 7-point halftime lead. All of those things matter.
Yeah.
All of those things, you know, like I said, there is some good, there is some bad. Pons, Bowden, second half Bowden.
Fantastic second half Bowden.
The bad would be Josiah Jordan-James.
Awful.
He no-showed today in a big game. Let's check back with Davey Hudson. He's in the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. Davey, what were your thoughts on this game?
I honestly didn't think we'd even cover. I was happy with the effort. Until Jalen Johnson hit that free throw, I mean, you only had 4 players score the whole game. So, I mean, those 4 played well outside of that. It's just kind of what I expected from a, I guess, lack of offense for some of these other guys, you're needing to step up and give you big minutes as role players. But I guess compared to some of these other big games we've had earlier in the year where we've just dropped the ball and gotten beat by like 20 points, this was at least good to see.
Yeah, Tennessee hasn't been good this year when trailing at halftime. And Tennessee was playing in one of the tougher places in the country against a top five team. Now, like I said, they were a little shorthanded, but still, Tennessee didn't fold even when they got down 12, you know, after an unfortunate stretch where, you know, Kansas hits a free throw, then misses a second, gets a rebound, then hits a three. That is a like back-breaking moment. And Tennessee got up and answered after that, which I thought was pretty promising. David, you're right about the offense and the defense and Tennessee struggling to score. You know, Tennessee's team total, if you go look at, you know, my bookie, one of our sponsors there at the station, Tennessee's team total is 58. Like, Tennessee was only supposed to score 58 points today. So they scored, you know, 10 more points and, you know, was better offensively than they were supposed to be. Kansas is an elite defense. They're top five in defense in the country. And Tennessee, you know, was able to hit some shots early that give them a chance. Just came up short. Couldn't get stops. There was a stretch in the second half where, you know, Kansas just kept scoring and kept scoring. Let's go to the phone lines. We want to hear from you. This is the Voluntary Reaction. We'll give you more of our thoughts as Tanner sits beside me and Davey back in the studios. But let's go to the phone lines. Let's get Ryan. Ryan, what's up, man? The floor is yours.
Big John Reed, how's it going?
It's going, brother. How are you?
Pretty good. I actually think that that was – I mean, I know we're not into moral victories, but that was a pretty good showing in probably, what would you say, top three toughest place to play? Cameron Indoor, that, and probably Rupp.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty accurate. And, you know, Syracuse people would argue that you give the Carrier Dome respect when they're good and it's rocking. But, yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone would complain with you saying top three. Which, by the way, not just pointing out to you, Ryan, but all the callers, we are going live on radio today, 105.7 FM 1340. I just wanted to put that out there for the people. So, yeah, it's a tough place to play, top three, I would agree.
Do you think that Jordan Bowden is one of the most frustrating players that we've had in probably the last decade?
Yes, I would say that. Because what you saw in the second half is what we've been begging to see all year. And it was nice to know that, you know, he hasn't lost it, but it was frustrating to see that it's been there the whole time.
Yeah, it's infuriating because, I think Jay Billis is a huge Bowden fan because you kind of hear him talk about Bowden a lot almost every time he scores. But, I mean, it just seems like he's got all SEC first team potential in him, and it's like half the games or even a third of the games you see that, and then the other half of that time he just disappears. He's just a non-factor.
He went scoreless in the first half and scored 19 in the second half. And you know, when we start looking at the good and the bad, you know, like I said, I feel like Barnes kind of fouled out a couple of his guys in the first half. Fulkerson went to the bench with two fouls, which, you know, I have less of a problem with that because, you know, he is a big man and was going to be having to, you know, bang with big men down low. But Bowden, man, a senior guard, you would maybe give him the benefit of the doubt of like, hey, just play smart, don't pick up a foul. Because I think he only played seven minutes in the first half.
Seven, yeah.
That's unacceptable.
One last thing that I wanted to say was, I know we're kind of focused on this year, but I mean, the fact that we're really only losing Bowden from the current roster for next year and you bring in all these guys next year, I mean, this is going to be just such a deep team next year. I mean, all this experience that this team is getting this year is going to pay huge dividends next year because all of these guys are coming back except for Bowden.
Yeah, that's the hope. And I don't want to go on record predicting this, but I've been keeping an eye on mock drafts. And it wasn't for this upcoming draft, but it was for next year. But it does tell me that he's on the radar. I did see Pons show up in the first mock draft I'd seen as a second-round pick. I wouldn't be shocked if Pons, you know, gets the itch to try his hand going professionally. So I won't say that we'll only lose Bowden, but, you know, if best-case scenario, you only lose Bowden, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Is next year the most excited that you think you'll have been for a Tennessee basketball season?
No, last year I was pretty excited when you had SEC Player of the Year Grant Williams and Admiral coming back. Yeah, I was pretty excited preseason last year.
I gotcha. Well, I'll let you guys hop on to the next callers. I'm looking forward to listening to Talk Sports on Monday. Have a good weekend, guys.
Yeah, man. I appreciate you. Appreciate the phone call. 865-546-8200. Tanner, did you make a face? Did you feel some type of way when I said that I wouldn't be surprised if Ponce tried his hands, you know, in the draft, kind of a la Jordan Bone? Because like Jordan Bone, Ponce is an elite athlete. Now, he has the size that, you know, would make up for some of his deficiencies, whereas Bone doesn't. But Ponce, freak athlete, getting better. I mean, from year to year, the improvement's there. I wouldn't be shocked if he tried his hand.
Having a career game like he did today certainly does not hurt any type of potential draft stock for this upcoming summer, too. I was watching this first half. I was getting frustrated with some things. I was texting my friends about how sheepy I'm getting about next season with all that you have coming in. And like you said, at least you're only losing Jordan Bowden and, you know, all you have coming back. But I mean, if Ponce wants to try his hand, you know, best of luck to him. I would certainly love to have him on the roster for next
sure.
year.
For sure.
I don't think that's going to completely break you as a roster next season, but, man, he has improved in leaps and bounds when it comes to just him as a player, I think. Him scoring 24 up in Fog Allen, him being able to, you know, be one of the, what, four guys who overall contributed today in the scoring column as well.
Yeah, I mean, you had Jalen Johnson score 1 point off the bench. Tennessee got 1 point from their bench, and you throw in Josiah Jordan-James, who started and played a majority of the game. He scored 0 points. You had to basically rely on four guys. And Vescovi, you know, he was, you know, I think he had almost, I think he had, did he have all of his points in the first half?
I think he did, because you had,
I want to say he had,
you had him with nine, you had Fulkerson with nine, I think Ponce had 12. That was all your scoring in the first half.
And Vescovi didn't score in the second half, so, I mean, you were carried. The only people that scored was, you know, really Bowden and Ponce. Fulkerson ended up with 15. I think he scored his 11th point at the very beginning of the second half. So, you know, you had Bowden and Ponce trying to carry you.
Well, let me go ahead and ask you this. If you were able to have a performance and, you know, stay in it to near the end at a place like Fog Allen against a top three team in the country, which we know how Bill Self teams have been throughout the tournament over the past few years. But if you would predict how this Kansas team would fare in the tournament, you would say, yeah, they definitely have final four potential. Do you think this makes you feel more positive or pessimistic about the team that you only had so few players contribute overall and you were in this position near the end of the game up in Lawrence?
I mean, I don't know overall when you put it that way, but like I said, I feel really good about Jordan Bowden. Like, I'm hoping this is the start of something of, you know, getting Jordan Bowden back to form. And if he could play, you know, he's not going to score 19 points a half, obviously. But if he could get back to where he's giving you a consistent 17, 18 points a game, this team can get where it needs to be, because you've got added ball handling with Vescovi. And Ponce and Fulkerson are playing at a high-level SEC starting caliber right now. Or I guess they're playing up to a high-level SEC starter. Let's go back to the phone lines. Let's get DR Vol. DR Vol, what's up, man? The floor is yours.
What's going on, guys? I know he's more athletic, but are we worried about Triple J being the second coming of Robert Hubs?
Hubs. Oh, God.
I mean, at this point, I don't know how you wouldn't say yes. I mean, he's been a little bit more aggressive than Hubs, which I think is a good start. Because, you know, for the first couple of years Hubs was here, he was very, very passive. So at least I've seen flashes where Josiah realizes he can get to certain points on the floor and be more athletic than some people. But, man, today was rough. Today was a bad, bad game for him. You don't want to go 0-for-6 from the floor with 6 turnovers. That's not going to win any basketball games. And, to, you know, for Tennessee to have a chance, it's almost remarkable, because I think everyone would have said if Tennessee is going to win, you have to have Josiah Jordan-James play well. And he went 0-for-6 with 6 turnovers.
Yeah, it seems like he shows up, you actually – you know, pull away with that game. I kind of hate it. And did Euros, did he ever do anything? Did he even get sweaty in that game?
He got cooked by Azubuike on the defensive end.
The
yes.
free Euros movement might have been a flop. It might have been a failure because, you know, on Friday on Talk Sports, I said the best thing, you know, at least he'll have Euros out there to give some fouls. I thought in the first half he should have given up some fouls late in that first half to Azubuike, because Azubuike just backed him down about 2 feet under the rim caught a ball, turned around, and just scored. Like, it was, you'd have been much better off having him just be out there to foul. Uros wasn't ready for the moment. To answer your question, he went 0-for all across the board. Club trillion, 0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0, except he did pick up one personal foul. Everything else, a zero. Didn't even shoot, have no shot attempts, no rebounds, no impact other than one foul.
Yeah, so I'm going to go ahead and say he's the basketball team's version of a J.J. Peterson. And I've heard it on the station before. It seems like longer the wait, the bigger the hype. And I hate that because we really needed him tonight. Well, guys, that's about all I've got. John, you and Cody's killing it on Talk Sports. Loving the show. See you guys.
Appreciate it, man. Give Tanner Carson a listen every night from 6 to 8 overtime.
Thank you, John.
You're welcome. You've been doing good things with that show for a long time. And piecing things together as new faces come in and come out and all that things. I wanted to give you your due.
Hey, I'm a springboard for new talent, man. I'm like I'm the Tennessee to Lane Kiffin going to USC, basically.
I was gonna say you're like the Dolph Ziggler.
Ooh, okay.
You're just there. You put talent over, and then you said you put them over. You build new talent. You launch them. Then you're just there. You're a big worker.
You're getting me excited for the Royal Rumble tomorrow. By
the Royal Rumble tomorrow will be a fun time. Justin tweets in. Justin's in Lawrence right now. He said Allen Fieldhouse is a fantastic place to watch a game, but some of those fans were real, we'll just call them jerks.
Safe for radio terms.
Yeah, we're on the radio, so we'll just call them jerks.
They're a blue blood fan base. They're probably going to have a lot to act like that. I've always wanted to go up there.
I'd imagine they're similar to Kansas City Chiefs fans, and Kansas City Chiefs fans are jerks too, so maybe it's just a Midwestern thing.
Maybe it is. I've always wanted to go up there for a basketball game. I have nothing against the Kansas Jayhawk program, even though—
I do. They're cheaters.
I was about to get to that, though.
They're cheaters.
I have things against Bill Self, for sure.
I didn't appreciate that—
Bill Self wears a wig, by the way.
I didn't appreciate that ESPN put Will Wade and Bill Self back to back in this big showcase. And I didn't want to see. Now, maybe I missed it because I was driving over here at the very beginning of the second half, listening to the radio. I missed the timeline. I missed the accusations talk. If they were talking about Bill Self and paying players and all that stuff, I missed it if ESPN ran it.
I didn't see anything either.
865-546-8200. You know, you talked about some of the bench guys. I thought a real turning point in the game was the end of the first half.
Yeah.
When you have Drew Pember.
It was such a bad lineup. It was so bad when Azubuike comes back off the bench to end the first half. Like,
you can't have Kamwa and Pember in the game.
No. Who was in foul trouble bad at the end of the first half?
I mean, Fulkerson picked up his second one with 4 minutes left, but okay. You know, Bowden was on the bench pretty much the entire, you know, second half of the second half or second half of the first half. But that was tough. That was, you know, Tennessee turned a 7-point lead into a 7-point deficit, basically.
That I think that was the biggest turning point in this entire game. You can point to so many missed opportunities in the second half, but you just said right there, think about the point swing, too. You had your biggest lead of the game, and you had Allen Fieldhouse almost completely silent. And then you just let them go on their run. You can blame who was out there on the floor. And they finished the first half up 7 points, and you were never able to really to get back from that. You cut into it, but you weren't able to get back.
The closest you got was, what, three? You got to three with a minute and a half left?
Yeah.
You know, Azubuike, credit to him, he hit some clutch free throws. He's not someone you expect to hit clutch free throws. He hit, what, 3 of 4?
He was 6 of 11 overall for the game. And when you
there was one stretch where he went 3 of 4, though, right? Yeah. He hit 2 in a row and then the one of a second one.
When you have someone who enters the game sub 40% from the charity stripe and he finishes the game over 50%, you're not doing yourself any favors. I mean,
it's just bad luck.
Yeah, you know, it's
not
bad
luck. It's not like Tennessee didn't let him shoot enough. Like, he shot 11 times. They sent him there and said, hey, prove it. He was able to prove it. And, you know, if he missed and shot his 40% and, you know, basically missed two extra free throws, this game feels different with, you know, 35, 40 seconds left. Tennessee would have had a chance to you know, take that lead and win this game. But you know, I'm not gonna, you know, bemoan on the lineups, but
no.
I just don't know how you go into a top five venue against a top five team and trust Jalen Johnson, Drew Pember, and Olivier Cumwa for an extended period of time, like all three of those guys out there together. Like that's tough.
What did Jalen Johnson even do? Every time I noticed him on the court, he was just
He missed a three and went one of two from the free throw line.
Pretty much a non-factor.
Yeah, pretty much a non-factor. I won't say that I watched him enough off the ball to see like what type of defense he was playing and stuff like that. So, you know, maybe he was doing some good things there. But as far as just the scoring column, which is, you know, Jalen Johnson's not out there to play defense. Jalen Johnson's out there to score. He did not provide that tonight. It is what it is. You lost that game. It sucks. It's not a conference game. It's probably a net positive on your resume, you know, just playing Kansas and boosting that strength of schedule, and it'll help your net rating and all that, just playing the game. A win would have been huge. A win would have been obviously the best win of the regular season. But if Tennessee could play like they did today, they're going to beat the next couple teams on their schedule.
Which you should beat Texas A&M on Tuesday. Texas A&M is not good. That's my analysis. They are not a good basketball team.
You get them at home, and then you go to Mississippi State and Alabama. I think you need to split those. Tennessee needs to go 2-1 over their next three games to kind of keep on pace to where they need to be.
What percentage chance do you get that we split those two? Because Mississippi State at the hump and then Coleman down in Tuscaloosa, that's historically two places you have not played well as a program. I think you even with the fact
where
that
do we play good on the road, because I feel like we say that about every SEC West team. We're like, hey, you don't play
that's
good.
True.
You don't play good at Alabama, you don't play good at Georgia, you don't play good at Arkansas.
It's like, especially true at Alabama and Georgia,
sure,
though, I feel like.
Sure, but I mean, like, I feel like it's been a long time since we won at Arkansas,
no,
too, but I might be wrong on that.
You can catch Alabama. I think you can. I mean, they can be an explosive team. They're taking, like, under Nate Oates, they're taking over 33s a game. That's just
no, they are playing a Washington Wizards type of game where you're just running and gunning and trying to shoot a bunch of threes.
But didn't you win the last – maybe you won the last two times you played down in Starkville. I feel like you can split that road trip.
Yeah, I think the Mississippi State being tough to play there is a little overrated. I think we've done okay there recently. I might be wrong, but I feel like we've done okay there.
You at least won the last time you went down there.
Yeah.
I think
you – now, granted, you went down there with better teams.
That is true. You can split this next road trip, though, and I think you really have to still feel pretty good about your tournament chances, because how are you feeling about the team now that, you know, you lost a chance to pretty much make the tournament if you went 500 in the SEC the rest of the way here? How do you feel about if, right now after this game here?
I still think you could make the tournament at 500 in the SEC.
Do you think we go 500, though? That's what
okay,
I was going to say.
You know, that might be the question. I feel better about our chances of going 500, at least, than I did coming into this game. Like, even though Tennessee lost to Kansas, like, I feel like we played pretty good. And
yes.
No place in the SEC outside of Rupp. Maybe that Auburn game. You know, neither one of those places are going to be tougher to play than Kansas. Like I said, Kentucky, yes, but I would rather play at Auburn than at Kansas type of thing. Like, this is your second toughest road game, and Tennessee, I would say, passed the test. Not with flying colors or anything, but I feel like Tennessee is going to go into Mississippi State next weekend, and I'm not saying they'll beat Mississippi State, but they're not going to be intimidated, you know, playing in that environment by any means.
I didn't even think this team was going to be intimidated by tonight, because you have enough, and I'm not even going to say veterans, but you have at least enough guys that have been to so many hostile environments.
I'm imagining Vescovi played in tougher gyms, you know, growing up overseas and you know, playing, you know, internationally. I'd imagine he's not going to be intimidated by going into Starkville. I think he'll be okay.
So, somewhere in remote Uruguay versus Starkville, Mississippi.
Right, like he'll be okay. So I mean, he doesn't have that quote veteran experience, at least at the college sense of the word. But he has played in tough places before.
Yes.
And I thought he came out, and I thought he set a pretty good tone early in the game. I thought that, you know, he didn't score in the second half and he didn't play very well in the second half, but I thought in the first half he was pretty settled and helped Tennessee get in their offense, made a couple big plays, and got Tennessee off and running. That's usually the key with road games is can you get off to a good start? It's hard to dig yourself out of a hole on the road. Tennessee did get off to a good start. Now, you know, we already talked about them running out of gas before the end of the first half, but this performance probably wins you both the Alabama and the Mississippi State game, and that's where our attention has to be, going at least 2-3 over our next three games, ideally going 3-0.
If you sweep that road trip, oh, I feel so positive about this team, because all you really have to do is just build off the positives that you had tonight. And now, granted, one of the things you have to work on is having more than just, you know, I know Jalen Johnson had 1 point, but let's be honest, you only have 4 people out of 10 plus who touched the floor contribute.
Yeah.
If you build off of that, man, and obviously you're not going to face as tough of opponents as Kansas every night, especially when you go to Alabama and Mississippi State, no disrespect. Just build off things you did tonight. And going 2-0 in that road trip is not out of the question.
Oh, no. And, you know, Tennessee, look, for as good as Tennessee played tonight, I don't think we should go ahead and pencil in a win over A&M by any means. Like, Tennessee isn't good enough to just roll out and beat teams.
No.
Especially, you know, at home, on the road, whatever. Texas A&M isn't very good, but Tennessee has played not so good a couple times so far this year. So they need to focus on their game against A&M before worrying about the road game. Davey!
What's up?
Davey, anything you'd like to add?
To go back real quick about Ponds and the possibility of the NBA or just playing professionally, if you're him, I feel like it would be dumb not to take the opportunity to get an evaluation based off how they line it up to where players who are underclassmen can get a chance to see. I mean, you saw Grant Williams do it, and it paid off for him coming back for another year.
Yeah, Admiral did it too. So you can take after them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Jordan Bone did it as well. He decided to stay in. So, like, yeah, I mean, the precedent set by his teammates, you know, is pretty much that, hey, it's a no-brainer, go do it. Now, you don't always stay in the draft, like Admiral. You don't always do that. Grant did. Bone did. But, you know, I think that he's going to be similar to Jordan Bone in the sense that he gets there and he's the most athletic guy in the combine or one of.
Real quick here, too, since you are – the de facto NBA guy at All Fan Run Radio. How do you?
All of Knoxville.
Yeah, that's fair too.
All of Knoxville. Really, the entire state of Tennessee except Memphis. There's some good guys in Memphis. But
where do you see Eve fitting into the NBA if he did decide to go after this season?
I mean, he's someone who would be a, you know, he's just a freak. So I mean, like a team. The improvement he's shown shooting the ball, like that, he's already like got that rolling, and he's going to attract people because he hasn't played basketball for very long. Like he's still raw. But, I mean, the one thing you can't really coach is athleticism, at least to be like a world-class athlete. I mean,
he has a ton of it.
You can go work with a trainer and get a little bit faster and jump a little bit higher. But for the most part, either you're going to be an elite athlete or you're not, and he has that going for him. So you'll see a lot of teams look and say, yeah, we can coach him up to do some good things and, you know, continue to improve. Let's go back to the phone lines. We got Brad. Brad's in Nashville. He's Brad in Nashville. What's up, man? The floor is yours.
Brad, you there?
Brad!
All right, Brad, try to call back.
No one can replace Brad.
That was a good intro, too. We got Brad. He's in Nashville. He's Brad in Nashville.
He'll call back.
Maybe.
I'm positive.
Maybe.
No one can replace Brad.
865-546-8200. I mean, I'm comfortable with putting out, you know, last call for callers, like, hey, go ahead and hop on because, you know, we do 5 days of programming throughout the week. Davey, you know, is producer of 3 and Out every morning from 7 to 10. I'm on Talk Sports 12 to 3. I already told you Tanner Carson is the lead host of Overtime 6 to 8. So
got the bases covered.
Got the bases covered. So we will, you know, cover this all next week. We want to hear from you. And if the people are out doing other things on a Saturday evening, that's fine. I would also like to go do other things.
Same.
On a Saturday evening. So we love Miller Lite.
We do.
We appreciate Miller Lite for their promotional support for them being the title sponsor of the Voluntary Reaction. If you like beer, drink Miller Lite. It's that simple. If you don't like beer, drink Truly. That works too.
This is the first time I've had the lemonade, by the way. Oh my gosh.
Delicious.
Oh, it's so good.
It is good.
It is so good.
It is good.
If that one can of the lemonade is still here at Hops when we get done here, I'm taking that home with me.
I think Cam brought it to me.
Ah, it's okay. It's okay. At least I got to have some. And I got regular Truly at my house.
There you go.
It's okay. I got raspberry lime.
Okay.
Oh, I love raspberry lime.
So drink Truly, drink Miller Lite. Come visit Hops and Hollers. We're out here live in the Upper Beer Garden. We'll do this again two more times this year. And who knows, maybe get out here for some tournament games if Tennessee's able to get here and get in the tournament. Brad ever call back, Davey? He's still gone?
Nah, I couldn't get him.
Okay. Works for me.
He's in Nashville. He's probably on Broadway right now. Yeah. Saturday night, probably. You know how it is.
You want to give us a couple score updates around the rest of the SEC? Let me pull some up and see what's going on.
Texas Tech Kentucky is pretty good. I've been keeping up with that one.
Okay. What's the score there?
You're going to get to that faster than I can because I'm watching the actual broadcast here. Okay. It is in the upper 20s. It's a pretty back-and-forth contest.
All right. Now Kentucky's up 31-28.
Okay.
So back Alabama playing Kansas State 31-30. I know the only conference game, I think it's the only conference game going on, Ole Miss, Georgia. Currently, Ole Miss up 8 on the road at Georgia. So, Ole Miss looking for their first SEC win of the season. Tennessee, still Georgia's only SEC win of the season.
That's fantastic.
And they kicked our ass. They blew us out.
It was bad. Anthony Edwards, very good basketball player.
Gonzo in Missouri, just completely blown out by West Virginia.
Gonzo's team shot 28% from the field. Oh, that's fantastic.
It was close at halftime. It was. One-point game at halftime, and then West Virginia hung 50. Gave them a 50 spot in the second half as they pulled away to win 74-51. Auburn survives at home 80-76. Texas, LSU, it was a typical LSU game. I'm so sick of LSU.
They're undefeated.
All they do is just win close games. That's all they do. They find a way to win close games. They guess what they did today? Won a close game. Texas went on, I believe, on like a 16-2 run to get the lead in that game.
Yeah, it was a pretty fantastic run by Shaka Smart's team. They were playing in Austin. But as you said, man, LSU will wait. They just found a way to win these close games. I believe this is 6 straight wins by a combined 15 points now. Yeah. It's something insane. LSU is your only undefeated team in the SEC. They were unranked today. They will definitely be ranked come Monday when the new polls come out.
I think we got Brad back on the line. Let's try him one more time. We've been having issues at the station with the phone and Comcast, so let's see if we got Brad. Brad, what's up, man? You there?
Hey,
what's up,
man?
Brad?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Fun. So I think that the game we played tonight would have put us in the game against Georgia. I mean, we showed a lot tonight that we haven't shown all year as far as persistence and, I don't know, like competence getting the ball up the floor, although they kind of let us have it for the most part. But we didn't have those, I don't know, at least early turnovers in our half of the floor trying to at least get it across the damn line. But I don't disagree with that.
I think this performance tonight would have beaten Georgia.
Yeah, it'd be close. But I'm glad that we showed up when we did. I just hope that we can maintain this level of consistency, and this is just these guys learning how to play together because they're still all just brand new pieces that have just been kind of patched together with Bondo and Hope. But it's, I mean, if the team that we have right now can go 500 in the SEC, I believe that.
It starts, what is it, Tuesday? On the 28th, you play Texas A&M on Tuesday. Must win game. And then, like we've been talking about, Mississippi State and Alabama, you have to take advantage of at least one of those opportunities because, you know, the last 5 games aren't going to be easy. At Auburn, at Arkansas, home for Florida, at Kentucky, home for Auburn. So Tennessee needs to bank as many of these wins as possible while they still can.
Yeah, we need to be a couple of games above 500 whenever we go into that run.
For sure.
I guess that's what I had to say. I want to pour one out for my Titans. We had a good run, and I'm real proud of us making it to the AFC Championship game.
It was fun. It came to an end. I wished it wouldn't have came to an end, but it did.
I was tightening up, John. I was because
okay. That was good. Because you're a Raiders fan usually.
The Chiefs are a divisional rival. I respect Patrick Mahomes, but I didn't want the damn Chiefs to get to the Super Bowl.
So maybe you were the bad luck guy. Maybe
you, I was.
Maybe you tightening up cost us. I appreciate that.
Take all your rage out on me. Take all your rage out on me.
Anything else, Brad? I think Brad's gone.
I think he dropped.
All right.
Texas Tech now up 34-31 late in the first half against Kentucky. I would love for Chris Beard's squad to get a win.
They're passing out free
beer this morning.
Free beer, yeah.
And free food, by the way. That's dangerous.
The food I have seen happen before. I haven't seen a school give away free beer, though.
That's dangerous. But also, they started at like 10 a.m. Central, so there was at least a big buffer period in between that and the tip-off, so they at least were given time for their students to be somewhat responsible. But that's still fantastic, giving out free beer like that. Shout to Red Raiders.
All right, last call for calls. We've been dealing with some issues with the phone line, so no sense in us trying to prolong it. So, we'll give you a couple minutes to hop on if you have anything you want to say. If not, we'll go ahead and continue on with our Saturday evenings. Davey, keep it on the phone lines. We'll go to you last for final thoughts. Tanner Carson, do you have any final thoughts?
My quick thought is that Hayden Wan of The Drive and My Show Overtime, he just gave me a spoiler of this Kentucky-Texas Tech game. So I'm behind right now because we're both streaming. There's 1.5 seconds left. Kentucky's about to get the ball. Apparently Kentucky's about to make a half-court shot.
Okay, let's see this.
He said Kentucky made it.
Boom.
Well, that's great. So Kentucky leads 36-34 Texas A&M.
So your final thoughts on Kansas, Tennessee, is Kentucky hitting a half-court shot?
I don't feel awful about this Tennessee team. I feel like, obviously, the fact that you had so few contributors tonight and you were able to make it a game like you did when, especially the end of the first half and at multiple points in the second half, Kansas could really gave you the real big kill shot to run away with that. And the fact that you stuck around, it makes me positive for the SEC play. And I'm not taking a moral victory. I'm disappointed by Josiah Jordan James. That was the worst game he has had this season by far. I wish he would look like more of a five-star. I get he has things to work on. I don't want to be too hard. But, man, you can't be having the performances that you've had over the past few conference games and then go up to Fog Allen and just completely have a game like you did tonight. John Fulkerson, unironically the best player that Tennessee has on its roster.
It seems that way.
He's fantastic.
It seems that way. He battled with Azubuike. And like I said, if the refs call a couple of position battles properly, he would have had Azubuike in foul trouble.
Was this his second or third career double-double he had tonight, 15-12?
865-546-8200. Phone line numbers, 865-546-8200. If you want to hop in, we'll give you a couple more minutes. Davey, go ahead and fire off that Miller Lite commercial. Let's get that in. Tell the audience about Miller Lite. Give the audience a couple 30-second spots to get the phone lines on if they have anything they want to say. 865-546-8200. If not, Davey and I will give you our final thoughts right after these words.
Picking up a six-pack of beer on the way to the party is easy, but picking the right beer, even easier. Because with great taste, only 96 calories and 3.2 carbs, Miller Lite was brewed to be enjoyed from first to last. Miller Lite, hold true. Celebrate responsibly. 2019 Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Average analysis, 12 fluid ounces, 96 calories, 3.2 grams carbs, less than 1 gram protein, and 0 grams fat.
All right. Final thoughts on Tennessee, Kansas. Like I said, I thought there was some really good things. Jordan Bowden, second half, that is the biggest thing. If he could get going. All right, Tanner, you got a little bit of breaking news.
Breaking news here.
Football news. We'll end the show with some football news, then I'll get back.
Sorry to interrupt your basketball monologue, but my good co-host here, intern Hayden Wallen, sends me this tweet here from Austin Price here, breaking this news. Another coaching staff change that Jeremy Pruitt is going to have to deal with here. Of course, you had David Johnson going to Florida State. Right now, on the defensive side of the ball, breaking news as of 4 minutes ago, Tennessee defensive assistant Kevin Scherer is joining the New York Giants as its linebackers coach. So Kevin Sherrod going to the NFL.
Okay, so that's a
breaking news.
That's another spot that Tennessee is going to have to fill.
Continue with your monologue. Sorry.
What was he coaching this year?
I think it was inside linebackers.
Just linebackers, right?
Was he inside or outside? I don't know. Inside. It makes a difference.
I think he was just inside. Okay.
Yeah, so there you go.
Co-defensive coordinator.
Two coaching staff changes.
Inside linebacker. All right. So I don't think that's a huge loss. I don't know what's off the top of my head. I wasn't thinking about this, what type of recruiter he was or whatever. But coached some really good talent at Georgia. I was excited when he got here. Yeah. Our inside linebackers, I mean, played pretty good this year, right?
Yeah.
Batuli and Tuotua played pretty good.
They're fantastic.
You know, he was a pretty good coach. So we'll see how Tennessee replaces him. As far as last thoughts on Kansas and Tennessee, like I said, I thought there was good and bad. Jordan Bowden, his second half gives me a lot of hope that maybe he has figured this out and can break out of his slump and get back to being Tennessee's most consistent scorer. Tennessee needs him to score. He has to be a scorer for Tennessee. That was a big positive.
Real quick, do you think one of his biggest problems is that he gets nervous sometimes in these type of environments? Because he's already on record saying that he had to adjust to being the alpha. He had to adjust to that type of role this season. And like we saw in the second half, when he has the will, he can do it. But
I just think it's tough to go from role player to star in any walk of life. Like I don't think it's just college basketball. I think any walk of life, you know, you see in the NFL, right, when you have, like, say, a number two receiver on a good offense, and then they get signed to go be a number one receiver somewhere else, and they usually struggle with that.
He's also always getting the opponent's best defender
right
now.
I mean, that's
versus
last
season.
Well, that's a big part of it. Like, you get more responsibility, you have better defenders at you, and your teammates are looking to you, and your coach is looking to you, but yet the other team is also looking to you as how can they stop you?
Yeah.
All of that stuff's tough. And, you know, some people are just role players and passive in their, you know, personality. Like, hey, I'm going to just do what you need me to do, go with the flow type of thing. Don't want to be the center of attention. I think people are like that in all walks of life. All types of occupations. It's tough that Jordan Bowden gets put in the spotlight to do that, but if Tennessee is going to be good at basketball this year, they need Jordan Bowden to at least be a consistent scorer. I'm not saying he has to be the team leader, but he has to be a consistent scorer and lead the offense in that regard. I didn't like the rotation the Barnes had at times. I think we could go ahead and put that Kumwa and Pember and Jalen Johnson rotation on the shelf. Let's not play those three guys together, please. Let's not do that. That seems to be a disaster. But overall, I thought this was a hard-fought game. I thought Tennessee tried all 40 minutes. I thought Tennessee played pretty well. I thought they tried as hard as they could down low against a guy who was just physically superior to them. There aren't many Azubuikis in college basketball. I don't think Tennessee has any left on their schedule that Tennessee is going to have to play. I thought Pons played really well. Josiah Jordan James, man. Come on. Step it up. Davey, your final thoughts.
I was happy to see Fulkerson and Pons play the way they did. As far as most improved player in the SEC, I think it is without question John Fulkerson. How consistent he has been throughout the season is not something I even thought we would be close to seeing when the year began. So the fact that you're having guys like that step up, it's something that you're going to need to finish strong down the stretch and have a chance at making the NCAA tournament. And I think Jay Billis said it on the call. He said, you know, if you're Fulkerson, and you were kind of alluding to this with Bowden, like, you can't just be a role player. Like, you have the ability to be a star. You need to take that chance, and hopefully we kind of see that happen. And if we could get second half Bowden again this year, that would be great, but I don't want to hold my breath on that one. As this team starts to gel a little bit more, I do feel confident that they'll at least have a chance to be on the bubble come the middle of March. So with that being said, got to get ready for Texas A&M on Tuesday. I haven't seen much from what I've watched with them so far this year, so.
Is this a 7 o'clock game? Please be 6:30. All right, good. A 6:30 Tuesday game, so that'll help me out.
But I've always learned never sleep on a Buzz Williams team.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm not going to write that off as a win. Tennessee needs to win it. It's a must win, but Tennessee's going to have to go win it. You would think that being at home will help in that regard. I will say, Davey, I'm not going to give Fulkerson even the most improved player for sure on this team because, you know, what Pons is doing offensively to go from a 2.2 points per game score to an 11 points per game score, if he can't continue that and even, you know, raise it a little bit more in conference play, I think he would have a pretty good shot at it too.
Pons is...
his defense has gotten a lot better too. Like, I know that he's always had the athleticism, but he's blocking, you know, 2.7 blocks per, he's blocking 2.7 shots per game this year.
Leads the conference.
That's fantastic. Up from 0.4.
He has, but my thing is Fulkerson's been more consistent. Pons will have some games.
I don't even disagree with that, but it's just I just wouldn't call it a slam dunk yet because I think Pons has shown really, really big improvement as well. But Fulkerson, like you said, has been the rock of this team all year, I think. You know, he's been giving it to you pretty much every night.
The big thing here, too, real quick, is for us to continue to be praising Pons like this, too, we have referenced a few times during the show this stretch of three games coming up here. You have to beat Texas A&M coming up on Tuesday evening, and then you have two back-to-back road games. If Pons can – John, what would you say a good benchmark for you is points-wise, defensive playing-wise for Pons to really have us keep crowning him like this?
I mean, the defensive marks, like I don't really get caught up in block shots. It's nice. But, I mean, you could play really, really good defense and really, really good team defense without blocking shots. He's been doing that this year. And points, I mean, like, I feel like he needs to give you 12 at least. Like, I'm not asking him to go out and score 15 or 20 points a game. He doesn't need to do that. But keep defenses honest, which he did in the first half by hitting, you know, two big threes. And that was the stretch for Tennessee to get up 7. It looked like they might win the game. And, you know, there was a time in the second half where you were on the brink and you were able to throw it into him and he got you a turnaround jumper. Just, he needs to be able to hit open shots. That's what I need from him offensively. Catch a couple putbacks. You know, some offensive rebound dunks, those type of things, but just be a threat. And if he could be a scoring threat and be a threat from 18 to 24 feet, that, you know, 24 is a little bit deep, but 18 to 22 feet, that's a big, big plus for Tennessee. All right, appreciate the listeners, appreciate the callers. Davey, appreciate you back in the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. Tanner, I appreciate you for hanging around here at Hops and Hollers. Appreciate our sponsors, Hops and Hollers, Truly, Miller Lite. That's all I got to say tonight. We'll do it Monday. We'll kick it off. We'll do our full programming. All right, David, take us out.